1-800-449-8686. Now, Phil Hendry.
Well, the high school football season has kicked off. We want to bring on, just to take a look not only at high school football, but we certainly want to talk about high school in general. Many of you parents, with us is Vernon Dozier. He's a health teacher at Belmar Academy in South Pasadena. Vernon, thanks for joining us. You're also the football coach, though, aren't you?
The last 10 years, Phil, that's exactly right. I've been a football coach at Belmar Academy, and we're very happy to have won our division title for those 10 years.
Congratulations, and you are also the health teacher?
That is correct. I've been teaching what we call health, human health and health sciences at the high school, as well as coaching football.
Well, it must be very challenging.
Well, it is challenging, especially when you live the way I do, while I try to get kids on the right track. When I was...
And when you say that, why?
Well, as I say, when I was married, my wife... when I first married my wife, she was a blonde. She was a out-of-the-bottle blonde, but she was a blonde. And I can tell you, and you probably know this as a man, Phil, I don't think there's anything sexier than a blonde woman. We've been married for 10 years, and this is why I related to teaching kids human sexuality. While I try to teach these kids how to normally relate to a woman, I have problems myself in my home.
Problems with what? Problems with your own wife?
Well, yes, I do, because of the fact that after 5 years, she went from being a blonde, that she let it go back to brown. And we had great sex, and it all went away, and I'd always wanted a son. So it's difficult, I'm sure you understand, to teach kids human sexuality and how to relate normally as human beings. And at the same time, in my home, I haven't had normal relations with my wife for 5 years.
That's an admission that I don't know whether to admire you. I'm going to say that I admire you for it, but I have to tell you, you're saying that... are you outside, by the way?
I'm out near our practice field, so forgive me. We're concluding our 2-a-days before our game on Friday.
Okay. I have to tell you that... go back in time and tell me, your relationship went down the drain with your wife because of her hair?
Well, because of what she had promised me, but that is...
Because she doesn't have... She doesn't have blonde hair? Is that right?
Let me ask you something, Phil. What color is your wife's hair?
I don't understand.
What color is your wife's hair? Because I have met your wife, so...
My wife's a blonde.
Thank you. And is it the best sex that you've ever had?
I think that is entirely inappropriate to ask me that question.
Well, I think I know the answer. You love your wife.
I have a very healthy relationship with my wife, yes.
Okay, thank you. Now, as I was saying... She's let her hair go, so you have the best sex of your life. Your wife is blonde, and my wife was a blonde. We had tremendous sex for the first 5 years, and then she let it go back to brown. And we have not normally related in the last 5 years. And she knows what she's done. She knew what she did to our marriage and to our relationship when she decided to basically emasculate me and debase herself by letting her hair go back to brown like some kind of a street-hustling rock whore.
And how did she debase herself?
She, just let me finish my point. So last year, she told me that and it was one of the happiest days of my life that she would go back to being a blonde on my 40th birthday. Okay?
I follow.
All right. So she'd also said that she would have her area shaved, which I don't know if that's, pertinent or anything, but it is exciting because when you want to...
Why is that pertinent?
Because when a woman has, excuse me, if she's blonde and then the area is dark, it blows the effect. So it's got to get...
All right.
So...
I don't know what any of this really has to do. I brought you on the program. I understand my producer said this has to do with when you're teaching kids human sexuality, it helps for you to have a healthy sexual relationship.
That is correct.
All right, but... For you to come on and tell me particulars of your marriage that you haven't had normal sexual relations with your wife because she changed her hair color.
But you see, you're trying to make it sound like it's my problem, and it is not my problem.
Well, whose problem is it?
It is my wife's problem. She knew that I married her because she was a blonde, because blondes are very sexy, and we had great sex. When she let it go back to brown, that's when things turned for us. And I have been to several specialists, but I have not had to, I've not been able to maintain or achieve any normal ability to have relations in the last 3 years and 8 months. Now, she said she was going to change it back to blonde on my 40th birthday, which was back in July. She lied to me. She said that she was...
Did she change it?
She said she was going to. And on my birthday, July the 11th, 2002, I was going to turn 40 years of age. She walks into the living room and her hair is the same crap brown that it was the day before. Now I ask you, is that not a breach of trust? When I was looking forward to having normal sex with my wife, and she decides that she's not going to turn her hair blonde, but she's going to turn it, keep it brown.
And as a result, you and your wife to this day do not have normal relations.
No, as a result, we do not have normal relations. That's correct.
All right, I'm going to give our phone number out here. We're talking with Vernon Dozier. He's the health, he is the health, human health teacher at Belmar Academy. He's also a head football coach there. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Dozier, your wife had blonde hair. Is this the only reason why you married her?
No, it is not.
Well, then, what kind of a relationship have you had outside of sex?
We've got a great relationship. We have a great friendship. She is my best friend. We have wonderful times together. We have mutual interests.
But no sex.
But no sex, because she was a blonde, and then she didn't turn it. Then she turned it back to brown about 3 years and 8 months ago. My wife has to come to terms with the fact she has seriously damaged our relationship. And what I'm trying to get her to see, and with the help of two therapists, we're trying to get her to see how she has lied and betrayed every decent instinct in our marriage. The fact that she had blonde hair, told me she'd turn it she had brown hair and told me she'd turn it blonde on my birthday. And then I walk in and it's still brown. And I was so looking forward to having an erection for the first time in 3 years. And looking forward for the first time to the normal ability to have a son. And she has betrayed me. And she has lied to me.
It sounds like it's an emotional time for you.
You better believe it.
All right, and I know...
Now, you have to understand, Mr. Henry, again, I haven't had the ability to relate normally. All right?
I think she's rebelling against you, and she wants to be who she is.
Well, one of the problems with a lot of you talk show hosts is you won't believe you have some degree in psychology. And
no, sir, I do not believe that I have a degree in psychology. I just think that she is rebelling against who she is. You believe the failure of your marriage is her fault?
When she refuses to go back to being a blonde and gives us a shot at being normal and a shot at being sexually healthy people, you bet I do. Marilyn Monroe, Jane Mansfield, Madonna, Christina Aguilera, Jean Harlow, Farrah Fawcett.
All right, these are all famous.
Gwen Stefani. Hold on for a minute. Gwen Stefani.
Famous blondes, huh?
Hold on for a minute. Suzanne Somers, Sarah Jessica Parker, Cameron Diaz, Heather Graham, and on, these are sexy women, and there's that other little thing about them that maybe you heard about. Oh, yeah, they're blonde. Okay? And I don't mean to be crude, but I challenge you, Mr. Henry, right here and now, to tell me that you wouldn't pound your puppet to a picture of anyone.
Okay, I think that your point is made.
No, but you understand what I'm saying. And it's like being married to Dr. Jekyll, to Mr. Jekyll and Dr. Hyde. The first 4 years, she was Mrs. Jekyll or Mr. Hyde, I forget who. And for the past 3 years and 8 months, I've got Mr. and Mrs. Hyde. And to me, it is wrong.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Sherry, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Vernon Dozier is health coach, is the health teacher and football coach at Belmar Academy. Go ahead, Sherry.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
I just want to make a comment to Hank. I want to know, since when has been marriage been based upon hair color? I mean, she's still who she is regardless
right.
of her hair color.
Yes, ma'am.
Her body
right.
parts do not change
no.
regardless of what hair color she is. And you, as a health teacher, should know that the roots come from in the inside, not out of a bottle.
Okay.
So maybe it takes more to maintain than it does for you to put some effort in it. Maybe it's your libido that's going downhill, not her look.
No, because everything about our marriage is great.
You said you had a good marriage.
We've got a wonderful marriage. I love her. She's my best friend. We enjoy the same things.
How can you say that she's your best friend when you're telling this lady she needs to change her hair color?
No.
So If you are truly in love with this person, as you say you do, then you should not expect her to do things she doesn't want to.
Could I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
Are you blonde?
Yes, I am.
See, I can tell because you're exciting to listen. Oh, excuse me.
Sherry, could you watch your language, please? Sherry?
Yes.
Could you watch your language, please?
Yes. Why do you think
I apologize.
Why do you think I'm full of it? I said you sound exciting.
I think that you're a whack job. I think that you've colored your hair too much for you to think something like this.
You're
blonde. And as a health teacher, you're disgraced.
How did I know you were blonde?
Because you've got fire. You know what they say about people who assume?
No. Wait a second.
Think about it.
Assumption is the mother of all screw-ups, is what I've heard, Sherry.
Well, hold on for a minute. Sherry, as soon as you started talking, I could tell you had that kind of little girl voice, and it was exciting to talk to you.
That's not because my hair is blonde. That's because God gave me vocal cords.
No, but you've got opinion, and you sound almost youthful, and you...
That comes from within, and if you didn't beat your wife down all the time about her hair color, maybe she would tell you like it is, too.
I just want to ask
you
a question.
Yeah, you need to grow up, buddy. If you tit for tat, if you want her hair blonde, you should dye yours blonde. And you sound like you're bald. Are you bald?
I have a receding hairline, yeah.
Well, see, how did I figure that?
All right.
I hope your age isn't the size of your IQ, because I think you're a very materialistic person to base your marriage upon.
You're not so smart yourself.
Oh,
you sound interesting. Has anyone grabbed your hair from behind?
What are you talking about?
She has a very sexual...
What do you mean, has anybody grabbed her hair from behind?
This is the type of man we're dealing with. He has no intelligence other than below the belt.
God, you sound cute.
All right, look at...
And you're disgusting.
Are you trying to say that all you want is a bimbo? Is that what you're saying?
Every man wants a woman who just won't be a brain surgeon. You want a woman who will just...
So you're saying Sherry's not a brain surgeon, is that it? You're saying Sherry's stupid?
No. No, I'm not.
Well, that's what you're saying. You're saying she sounds like a blonde.
No, she's... She just isn't somebody who's going to win.
Get on a respirator. You sound like you're losing it there.
She's not the kind of woman that's going to win a lot of arguments from me. Let me put it that way.
What does that mean?
I'm smarter than her, I think. Sherry, wouldn't you agree that I'm smarter than you?
I think, buddy, you have a better chance with a toilet bowl.
With a toilet bowl?
Yeah.
Sherry, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. You got a dichotomy here. Are blondes, does a man want a kind of a Cupid doll, blonde, kind of a dumb bimbo to have sex with, or does he want an all-around woman to spend his life with? And you've got a conflict going on here with Mr. Dozier, whose wife was a blonde, but let her hair go back to its natural color. And when she did, their sexual life went down the tubes. He says intellectually he loves her. She's his best friend, but when she had blonde hair, they had exciting sex. And this guy teaches kids health and sex education at Belmar Academy, one of the prominent private schools on the West Coast. He's also the football coach. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be back with Vernon Dozier. This is The Phil Hendry Show. Back in a moment.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Vernon Dozier with me is a sex education and health teacher from Belmar Academy. He's also the football coach there. What would you say? How does all of this relate? You and your wife, since she decided not to be a blonde anymore, haven't had sex. And once she becomes a blonde, you'll feel confident you'll have sex with her.
Well, she had promised me, Phil, that she would. And
that was on your 40th birthday.
Yes, it was on my 40th, and then she didn't do it. And her excuse was she wanted to just be herself. And I think any time you hear a woman say the following words, I just want to be myself, you might as well take your penis and throw it out the window of the car as you're driving down the street, because that's exactly what she would do if you were taking a nap.
You think it's an emasculating thing?
When a woman says, I just want to be who I am, I think what that says is she wants to distance herself from you. And when she wants to distance herself from you, you can forget about her shaving it or whatever it is that helps the relationship.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 as we talk to Mr. Dozier. And I got to ask you one of these times, not right now, Mr. Dozier, how you relate to the kids in the class. Roberta, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi. I couldn't help but calling to comment on this man. He needs his head examined. Something is absolutely wrong if all
Marilyn Monroe
was the color of her hair.
Jane Mansfield, Madonna, Christina Aguilera, Jean
Jacqueline
Arnold,
Smith,
Fawcett,
Catherine Zeta-Jones, I can name
Stefani,
a million brunettes.
Suzanne Summers, these are all women, okay, who are the sexiest women of the last century. Marilyn Monroe was a blonde.
Okay, you know what it boils down to? Sex is the only thing that matters in your relationship.
No, it's not. No,
very
it's not.
Well,
I stayed with my wife. I've stayed with my wife, even though we haven't had sex, haven't I?
And you'd do her a big favor if you didn't.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
How do you figure that? I mean,
because if that's all, if you can only see her with blonde hair and you can't see her in herself, then she needs you like she needs a hole in the head.
What about the son that I want? When am I going to get to have that? And how come she promised it?
Well, now, wait a minute. Having a child versus not having a child is another whole ballgame. That has nothing to do with her being blonde or brunette.
Well, yes, it does, because if she changes her hair to blonde, then I can have normal relations with her.
No, excuse me. You have a problem, mister.
You have a
problem, and I cannot believe that you are a sex education teacher. And if you were my child's sex education teacher, I'd take them out of your class so fast your head would spin.
Then how come I won Teacher of the Year last year?
I haven't got a clue.
Well, and then that shows you how much you know.
Because there must be a lot of other sickies just like you voting, okay?
You know something? My wife said she wanted to, quote, be herself. And that's what those Lilith Fair gals do. That's what the lesbians say. That's what Oprah says. Oprah made my wife look like a dog.
Well, I have something else to tell you. I happen to be a brunette, and I happen to have a brain, and that's what my husband appreciates in me, not just sex.
Oh, I can tell. See, the last girl who was a blonde was exciting.
Yeah, because you think she was stupid.
I'm not exciting because I'm putting you in your place. That's why I'm not exciting.
Well, no man likes to have it cut off and thrown in the street.
Exactly, and that's what happened to you.
No, that's what you're doing. She married me blonde, then she changed her hair color. I call that false advertising, and in the professional world...
Oh, that's bull crap.
The color
of your hair has nothing to do with your relationship.
Ma'am, in the professional world, that's against the law.
What's against the law?
False advertising.
Are you a lawyer, too?
False advertising. You don't have to be a lawyer.
Wait a minute.
That's
a woman can have any color.
That's false advertising.
Yeah.
She wasn't blonde to begin with.
Ma'am,
did you know it came out of a bottle?
You know what? I can tell you're a brunette because my manhood is lying like a sleeping dog talking to you. And my wife...
Well, I would hope it would because it would have to.
No, I would tell you that my wife, who had been a blonde, why did she promise me? I'll tell you why. Because she wanted to see me sweat. Because then that morning
you're
she walked
sick.
In...
You are brunette. Sick. That's all I can say.
The reason why you say that is you're a brunette.
No, the reason why she says that is and again, you teach health.
I was teacher of the year 2 years ago in the 5th district. What if you bought a white car and it suddenly turned brown? Would you be happy?
There is no comparison. Are you comparing your wife with a car?
Yes, I am. They're both things that men love, cars and women.
Well,
Roberta, I got to take a break. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Vernon Dozier is a sex education teacher at Belmar Academy, where he incidentally said his wife was a blonde. Now she doesn't have blonde hair anymore, and he can't have normal sex with her. We'll be back. 1-800-449-8686.
Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
This is
This is High School Focus. With me is Vernon Dozier. He's a high school health teacher and high school football coach at Belmar Academy. But we've kind of gotten off of that, Vernon. We're talking about you and your wife. And
well, this relates to the kids, though, because it's important for kids to understand, especially young men to understand, that once a woman tries to push herself away, my wife, who I told you about the fact that she's not a blonde any longer, is a woman that used to sit in my lap. And I could say things to her like, have you been a good girl today? And she'd say, no, I haven't. I said, well, daddy's gonna have to spank you. And these are things, Phil, that...
Well, isn't all of that stuff a little childish and sexually objectifying?
Well, look, all of those words you're using to me, Phil, that proves to me that you have had your penis in your wife's back pocket for a long...
Wait a second, pal. The fact is, it sounds... It's fine, it's cute, it's fun, but to base an entire relationship on it.
All I could tell you is when my wife was a blonde, I could come through the door at night, she'd throw herself into my lap, already in the baby doll nightie, already with the little high heels and the baby doll socks. She had pink lipstick and pink nail polish. She had, I'm thinking about it now. I mean, all I'd ask you to do, Mr. Hendry, is to get your penis out of your wife's coin purse and listen to the things that I'm...
Well, wait. How do you know I don't do any of that stuff with my wife?
Buddy,
I mean, I have a blonde wife, and my blonde wife, by the way, has got brains, too.
Yeah, but I bet she does what you want her to do. Okay? When it gets dark outside, the two of you are alone. I bet she does what
happens. You know what? If she does or if she doesn't, it's nothing I'm going to share with you. Nothing I'm going to share with you. 1-800-449-8686.
I tell the young girls in my health class that
I want to go to a phone call.
I tell the young girls in my health class that the only way they'll be attracted to men is if they dye their hair blonde. And I demonstrate with the blonde girls in class how attractive they are to men. My ex-blonde wife is 25. How old is yours?
My wife? Never mind how old my wife is.
Well...
I also have a note here from a member of your football team. All of the players on the football team are supposed to dye their hair blonde.
Because it looks clean on men. Not for any sexual purpose, and I really resent where you're going with that. Because it looks cleaner on men.
So you like blonde-haired men because they look cleaner, and blonde-haired women because they're sexier. Here is Patty on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello, Patty. Go ahead.
Vernon, I don't think your issue has to do with hair color. I think you have a deeper problem.
Oh, here we go. You've watched just enough Oprah. You're a psychologist, too, huh?
No, I'm a professional like you are.
Oh.
I'm just going to say, I think you have low self-esteem. I think you sound like a pedophile.
You don't have a college degree.
You like the voices to sound childlike. You like when your wife dresses and wears pink.
Yeah, a lot of guys do.
That's not normal. That's not normal for a mature man.
Maybe from a woman it's not normal, but ask the guys out there whether they like
a woman. No, my husband likes a real woman. Men I know like
a real
woman.
How do we know your husband's not normal?
They don't want to have sex with young children.
Okay, Dr. Phil.
And as far as you can't have an erection because your wife's not blonde, it's not her job to give you an erection.
Okay, Dr. Phil.
And Vernon, how long have you been married?
I've been married 10 years, you ball-busted.
Okay, now watch it, okay?
Now wait,
that's what she is. She's a ball-buster.
Let's go over to Mike. Mike, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to clarify.
Oh, so here's a guy. So maybe he understands.
Yeah, your name is Vernon, right?
Yeah, what's yours?
My name's Mike. You know, buddy, am I to understand that you can't get an erection unless
you're blonde? I've been talking for 40 minutes, pal. Have you been listening?
Yeah, actually, I have.
Okay.
But
what do you need?
I need to understand why you can't get an erection if your wife isn't blonde.
Because blondes are sexy.
Like, does she not have body parts, man?
Okay, so do you have a wife?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Yeah, well, what color's her hair?
Well, her hair color is neither here nor there with
you. Yeah, it is. What color's her hair?
Oh, she's a major blonde, man.
Well, then you know what I'm talking about, you idiot. So why are you calling me up and talking to me about this stuff for?
Well, because you're making yourself look like a fool.
No, I'm not. Your wife's a blonde.
Sure,
Henry's wife's a blonde. What are you guys calling in for?
Yeah,
you know,
you know
what I'm talking about.
I've had lots of women. This whole thing of you saying
been married,
that.
Son?
Listen, man, you want to let me talk, or am I going to have to come over there?
Let's go over here to Sean. Sean, go ahead.
Yes, you are an utterly repulsive man.
Who are
you? You are infatuated with this woman's hair color, and you don't love her.
Are you talking to the host of the show?
She's not a person. You're utterly repulsive.
Are you talking to the host of the show or to me? I don't know who you're talking to.
The man on the radio.
Well, there's two of us.
The gentleman that's infatuated with his wife's hair color.
Oh, that'd be the other guy, Mr. Hendry.
No, it isn't. It's you.
No, it's not. It's you.
It's you.
It's you.
You are
a
sorry
scum. No, Hendry's the guy.
I am a blonde.
No, you're not.
I am a blonde.
No, you're not. You're black.
Excuse me?
I said you're black, and you know you're black, so don't try to
I think you better stop and think again.
Lady,
I am just as white as you are.
You are African-American.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Look, sir.
I don't think so. You are utterly repulsive. I am white.
Sir, why don't you put your wife on the line?
What do you mean, sir?
This is a female. I am more female than your wife, evidently.
Look, you may have a yellow do-rag on, but you're black.
No, I'm not. No,
well,
I'm not.
Where are we going?
My daughter has blonde hair and blue eyes. Is she a stupid bimbo?
Well, you might have a white husband, but you're black.
Look,
no,
where
I'm
are
white.
We going with all of this?
I'm white.
I won't take this.
You're
from
just utterly repulsive.
American woman, okay?
You make women's skin crawl listening to your voice.
I make your skin crawl, but other women.
No, you make
women love me.
Skin crawl. You give men a bad name.
Look, you're more female for what? The last 5 years?
Huh?
You must have bought that daughter. No way you could have popped out a blonde kid.
There's no way I could have popped out a blonde kid?
That's right.
How do you figure that?
Look, Jemima.
I'm sorry, I don't take up your habits and buy things
off the black market.
Take
off that speckled do-rag and go in and make me some flapjacks.
Oh, I think
right,
you better
okay.
kiss my ass.
You know, all I need
and
to
I'm
do
gonna
is...
And I'm going to take you that on national radio.
How do you know it's national radio?
Because I was just listening to my radio.
Now, here's what you do, Sean. Go into the service porch, get that
Why don't you go and stick your head up your butt as far as you can get it? Maybe then you can see reality.
Tub needs scrubbing.
Your wife is a brunette. Be happy with her. You need to love her for who she is, not for what her hair color is.
Look at rerun
hair. If she has cancer and loses all her hair, you going to throw her out?
You got work to do, so get to it.
All right. I think what we have there is a situation where this man teaches high school health and sex education, is a football coach, and has come unbalanced at some point the last 40 minutes. Because now everybody's black. That's Vernon Dozier. He can't have normal relations with his wife. She used to be a blonde, but now she let her hair grow out. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show. Nice to be back home. Gee, it sure is good to be back home. But it was fun to be in Las Vegas this past weekend. And if you go to our website, philhenryshow.com, you can look at a few pictures that we took from our Las Vegas trip, our remote broadcast, and our party on Saturday night. I want to thank everybody that came by for an autograph, for a picture. I really feel like I probably impeded the progress of the party by sitting there in my little ringside table drinking beers and smoking Marlboro Lights while people lined up to get a picture or a photograph or an autograph. So I decided next year when we do this, I'm going to go in the back, sit there in the bathroom, and just stand there at one of the sinks or stand at a urinal and then wait for about 20 minutes, then come back out and dance with people. That way we could circulate people more. We had a tremendous band. What was the name of our band again? It was Billy Ray Charles and Three Piece Snack. What a fantastic band. Great music. They ran a lot of Stevie Ray Vaughan and the PA in between sets. It was a great night. And we had a great deal of fun meeting everybody at our broadcast on Friday night. Now go to our website, click on the link that says Phil's Luxor Las Vegas Party Photos, and head on over there and see if you see yourself. as well as everything else. We have a souvenir shop that you can pick up the Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt in, as well as a Jay Sanders Citizens Auxiliary Police t-shirt, as well as any one of, five or six of our Best Of CDs. They're available there. They're $20. The money from our CD sales goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless runaway kids in Hollywood. And if you want to know what the Phil Henry Show is all about, you can go to our website. There you'll discover that it was actually me doing the voice of Vernon Dozier in that last bit, that last 40 or 45 minutes worth of insanity where Vernon couldn't get it up because his wife isn't a blonde. Who in the world would believe that a guy like that exists? The people that called. Real people. By the way, there's a study. Blondes are an endangered species. We'll be getting to that in just a minute. A new study by German researchers claims people with blonde hair comprise an endangered species that will become extinct by 2202. Oh, well. So go to our website and check out our official website of the week. We feature our favorite links. And there's a links page where you can go and see our favorite links. This week, we're featuring one of our favorite links, the official Dwight Frye website. Dwight Frye, one of the great acting treasures in this country's history, died very young at the age of like 42 or 43. He was Renfield in Dracula. He played Fritz in Frankenstein. The guy was way, way out there. And he is our favorite website of the week, the official Dwight Frye website. And as well, we've got our super. What else am I missing here? There's a Q&A and a little bit of what else. Okay, that's it. Oh, yeah, the backstage pass is only $6.95 a month. So check it out. You'll be glad you did. 1-800-449-8686. What are you staring at? Oh, you're looking at something else? Janice was. Huh? You're looking at me? Are you looking at Dwight Frye? Janice was looking at me. By the way, you can get a good look at Janice. She's in our Las Vegas pictures. Chris Pelton is there, as well as our good friend Craig Taylor. They're all there. And Doug, our web guy, he hates being called a webmaster. That picture of him is real out there. Isn't that a space cadet picture of him? He's sitting there munching a pretzel and just staring off into... He's not looking off into anywhere other than his inner self. He's looking into his own soul. Doug, the website guy. Luxor Hotel, by the way, treated us just phenomenally. And as long as I'm on the subject, let me go ahead and give out the thanks that we want to give to so many people. Andrea Garcia, who is the promotion director at KFI Radio in Los Angeles. Bill Lewis, who is our marketing director over at KFI. The Luxor Hotel, the Luxor Spa, the Luxor nightclub, the Raw nightclub in the Luxor. What a tremendous place. And all kinds of things to do in that place, too. We went over to the Luxor Theater on Saturday night and saw the Blue Man Group. I'm not going to tell you anything other than you got to go see this show, and I will also tell you, and I say this with great, I had such a great time. The show is so interactive, and it is so original, I almost was injured. Let me just say that. And I say that with a smile on my face. It was a blast. You have to see this Blue Man Group show. You got to see it. You've never seen anything like it before in your life. I thought what we did on the radio here was different. Man, you ain't seen nothing yet. And then Craig and Nikki were hanging out at the Nefertiti Lounge until about 6 a.m. listening to Sam the Sham and the Pharaohs or whoever the hell was over there. So let me thank again the Luxor for everything and anything that they did for us. The rooms were fantastically, gorgeously sumptuous. We had wonderful equipment and we had a great staff to work with there. Sean and Neil Saavedra over there at KFI helped us with our security, as did Doc and Sam. Ed Sheftel, who put the party together for us, and everybody in Las Vegas for coming out. The people in that came to the show were from all over, L.A., Miami. We saw people from Ohio. We met people from North Carolina. Met a lot of people from Texas. We met people from Oregon, obviously from Utah. I met a couple of people from Orlando. There were listeners from Georgia, just everywhere on our network. Everybody came in from all over the country to enjoy it. So thanks a lot. And we got home in time to see The Sopranos, and it was okay. 1-800-449-8686 here on The Phil Henry Show. So anyway, blondes are going to be extinct. The whole reason why we did that bit was we read a thing in the paper here. Blondes may be extinct by 2202. The problem is that blonde hair, like blue eyes, is caused by a recessive gene. In order for a child to have blonde hair, it must have the gene for blonde hair on both sides of the family in the grandparents' generation. The decline and fall of the blonde is most likely being caused by bottle blondes, who researchers believe are more attractive to men than true blondes. The result is fewer pure blonde genes in the gene pool. Now, why do you suppose that bottle blondes are more attractive than real blondes? Well, we could probably theorize till the cows come home, but I would think it's because a bottle blonde may be a very dark-skinned woman. She may have olive skin. She may be darker, and perhaps that's not quite as off-putting as freckle-face women are, although I find freckle-face women to be exceedingly attractive, very sexy, although I wouldn't marry one myself. No, I'm kidding. My wife has freckles, so forget it. Forget it, man. I'm on the side of freckled women. Freckled women. Sounds a little odd, but tell you what, Janice, why don't you dye your hair blonde so we can see exactly what these guys are talking about. Another German academic has research claiming that blondes actually don't have more fun. Professor Hans Jürgens believes men associate blondes with marriage and housekeeping, but they seek out brunettes for sex. I know in my life that was true. All right, U.S. to begin fingerprinting travelers from four Muslim countries and request that we all have sex with them. Egyptian nationals and men from Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, and Yemen are the latest group of travelers who will be fingerprinted and questioned upon arrival in the United States, and all U.S. nationals are asked to have sex with each and every person arriving from the Middle East, so we recognize that there is no sore losers in this thing. As well, we were requesting that all women traveling from Yemen or Pakistan dye their hair blonde. To date, the program has required registration of foreign visitors from Iran, Iraq, Sudan, and Libya, the country listed by the United States State Department as state sponsors of terrorism. So you can say what you want about profiling people. We're going to go right ahead and fingerprint who the hell it is we feel like we're going to fingerprint. And just so you don't feel alone, as we were flying to Las Vegas, guess who got stopped and had his rear end searched and his pants taken off and his ears looked into and my ass looked at and my armpits? You got it. Yours truly, your congenial host. As I was getting on the plane, she said, oh, you have to go. Yeah, I know. I got to go over to the thing. I sat down and I let them look into everything. And that's fine. Not a problem. And I got wanded down there at the first security checkpoint. See, it doesn't bother me. It just doesn't bother me. There must be something wrong with me. I listen to people do nothing but bellyache about it. It doesn't bother me at all. Now, if you travel all the time, maybe it gets to be a problem. It just doesn't bug me at all. And I get everybody up, and I get their asses out onto the street, waiting for the cab, in the cab, and on the road, man, in time so we can get there the full 90 minutes. And the kids were screaming and crying when we got them out of bed the other morning to get them over to Vegas for the show, and they said, why do we got to get into it? I said, well, this is why, baby. 90 minutes, huh? Look at all the security we got to go through. This is why. It's a new day. It's a new dawn. It's a new world. That answered the question, but good. That's why you got to get up early. And there's nothing you can do about it, so just sit there and chill. So if I can get stopped, and of course my wife, even though she is a blonde, her last name being Sanchez, she basically is, she's got a trip over to the security area all the time. And I got it, now I'm starting to laugh. Honey, I'm going to go ahead and get on the plane. Bye. She's standing there in that Jesus on the cross pose, you know, with the arms stretched out while they're doing the wand thing up and down the back and the front. Okay, see you later, honey. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. This is The Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
This is the Phil Henry Show.
I want to talk to the Vice President of Syndication now for the Phil Henry Show, David G. Hall, who's at actually a management meeting right now. And, David, are you there?
I'm right here, Phil.
All right. The question I had is, I understand people in management in Las Vegas, we just got back from our trip to Vegas, didn't have to pay for their rooms or their room expenses. The management people didn't have to.
That is correct.
Now, I just got the bill here for one bottle of Patron tequila. It was $500.
That's from the Raw?
That was from the Raw nightclub. I'm not begrudging them the price, but I got the bill for it.
That's a high-class club.
Why do I have to pay for that?
Because you're not in management. I think what goes on, people don't really understand. Management traditionally gets its expenses paid for, while people who are not in management have to pick up a lot of their expenses. And So, not to anticipate your next question, but we get our expenses paid for because without our good ideas and guidance, you wouldn't have a job. We are the engine that really runs corporations, management people.
And this is standard throughout the...
Yeah, this is standard throughout business. Management people, that is supervisors, general managers, ad infinitum, we get, at least here in our business, we get our expenses paid for. You don't. The reason, again, all of the good ideas and all of the ingenuity and creativity that runs a corporation comes from management. You remember that guy Kozlowski from Tyco?
Well, that's the guy that spent $2 million of the company's money to pay for his wife's 40th birthday.
Well, that's what they say, yeah.
I mean, $2 million of the company's money to give his wife a 40th birthday party.
But you have to understand he is entitled to that because he is the CEO of the company. And
well, he's not entitled to mismanage the company's money.
Why do you call that mismanaged? See, to me, that's...
Why do I call it mismanaged? $2 million of the company's money he spent...
I know, on his wife's 40th birthday party. But that makes her happy. That makes him happy. It makes him more comfortable, and it makes him a better manager. And to make him a better manager means he will be more creative and the company runs better.
Why couldn't, for instance, the company pay my expenses? Why couldn't the company pay for my expenses even though I'm not management?
Like the $500 bottle of Patron.
Well, I bought that for everybody, but why couldn't the company pick that up?
Because you are not management. You are...
I am non-management personnel, I understand that. But don't I contribute creatively?
You were hired to do a radio show, but the idea to hire you was mine. You were hired to come on the air, yes, but the idea to hire you was the company's idea. If we didn't have the idea, you never would have been hired. So the guys that had the idea to hire you have got to be kept happy. And the way you keep them happy, one of the ways, Phil, is by paying for their expenses.
So I got to pay for the tequila, and you don't have to. It's very expensive.
I think making employees pay for their own expenses is good for them. It teaches them the value of money so they can be management someday.
But as I said, I did buy it for the crew.
It's a gift from you. I just got back from a photographic safari to Africa, Phil. Listen to this. The company will pay for this trip. I took my wife and my two kids, over $15,000. My wife and two kids. And the reason why they're paying, Phil, is because they know it makes me happy. When a CEO or any corporate officer is happy, he wants to come to work, and maybe, if you're lucky, the company will want to make more money. Vegas is a great place for non-management types. You gladly pay for things, but I'm what they call a whale, Phil. They pay for me.
I've heard that term whale. So when you go to Vegas...
When I go to Vegas, I don't have to pay for a thing because I'm management. I'm not a salaried employee. And I'm sorry to pop your bubble, but you're so, in a lot of ways, Phil, you're replaceable.
Well, that makes me feel great.
Well, I mean, not that we're going to replace you, but you are replaceable. I'm not. I'm management. I have the ideas. If I hadn't had the idea to hire you, you wouldn't have gotten hired.
Is it possible some other company would have hired me?
Considering the fact that I am the number one programmer in the country, I don't think so.
I'm hearing music, David.
Well, we're at a manager's meeting right now. We're having a break from our manager's meeting. We're out here. We're enjoying some dancing and enjoying a couple of cocktails. We're going to go back into our seminars, though, Phil.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. I'd like to thank David G. Hall to come on the program, a very special guest. He's the vice president of syndication for The Phil Henry Show. I work for you, David, and you syndicate my program.
That is right.
And I wanted you to come on to kind of explain this thing about money. I had to pay for my hotel. I had to pay for my cocktails and everything else, and I paid for the crew. But you don't have to pay, and you say that's because you're management.
That's right.
But you also went so far as to say that this Kozlowski guy from Tyco shouldn't be indicted for spending company money on his wife's birthday?
No, I don't think so. I mean, this guy's probably not gonna go to jail for that, Phil. He had every right in the world to spend $2 million on his wife's birthday because it helps him be another a better manager, okay? And he's able to spend $2 million on his wife's birthday because he doesn't... People not in management trying to get to the company to pay for their room rate. As you know, we're cut back in health benefits because of the economy, but we will increase some of them if women agree to certain options.
Right. Cutting back in health benefits is one of the big, big problems of what I call the recession. How do people...
Our company is going to reinstate some of the health benefits if women agree to certain health options.
Which are what?
One of the options we're asking for is that women consider the option of delivering their... If they are expecting a baby, delivering their own baby, foregoing certain surgeries as long as possible, whether they be mastectomies or hysterectomies or biopsies. These will all save all of us money. And so that's what we're saying. And when we go to one of your appearances as manager, we don't pay. You pay until you get moved up the ranks.
I want to ask you about the advisability of people putting off necessary surgery.
What about it?
If a woman has to have, for instance, a mastectomy, you're telling her to put it off?
Because it costs the company money. If she puts it off as long as possible, then we may be able to pick up some of it. But if she just goes in and the doctor says, well, it looks like you're going to have a mastectomy, and she goes out and has it, I think that shows a little selfishness. I think it shows...
How is that selfish?
Because she works for a company that needs to consider its expenses as well.
And a hysterectomy the same. These are people that could die from their conditions, David.
They're not going to die. You find out from the doctor how long you can go before it begins to metastasize. Then you go in like 2 days before and you have it done. But I think it's very, very selfish for employees who are diagnosed with cancer to run right out and get the cancer surgery, knowing that we're in a recession and these health benefits are very expensive for the companies they work for. I would much rather have them be a little less selfish, think a little less of themselves and a little more of their company and their coworkers, and put off that biopsy for as long as possible or the hysterectomy. For these employees to take time and money away from the company shows an extreme lack of dedication.
Well, I got to tell you something. I'm not a woman, but were I diagnosed with breast cancer, I would run. I wouldn't walk. I would run to a oncology unit in the hospital, a surgeon, and have that taken care of.
Yeah, okay, and thanks a lot, Phil, for bankrupting the health program.
We're not going to bankrupt it with one person.
Phil, we're in the middle of a recession. Health benefits are costing money. Some selfish, egotistical, narcissistic person with liver cancer says, oh, well, why don't I just go and have surgery right now when they could wait perhaps a month or two?
And you can't wait on liver cancer.
And Dr. Henry, where do you practice?
David.
No, really, Dr. Henry, where is your office?
All right, I'm not a doctor.
Thank you. You're not a doctor, so you can't make those claims.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Talking to David Hall, David G. Hall, who's the Vice President of Syndication, about health benefits and how selfish people can be who get health benefits from their company when they go right out and have their, you know, have their surgery done when they ought to wait. And the other thing he's saying is that management doesn't have to pay for things, only non-management people, because frankly it is management that has all the creative ideas, not non-management people. These, as you know, David, are extremely inflammatory, incendiary opinions.
And I don't mean to offend anybody, Phil, but they are true. I've been in management for one person. Look, one person starts with cancer treatments. The next thing you know, you got an entire floor out with cancer. And the next thing you know, you're going to have all these people making up excuses why they got to go to the hospital. I got to get cancer treatment. I think it's selfish. I think it's wrong.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. If you're diagnosed with cancer, should you go right out and have it treated, or should you wait, considering that the health benefits do cost your company an awful lot of money? That's A. And B, if you are not management and you go to a convention or whatever, don't you think you want to pay for your own expenses while management has the company pick up theirs? They're the ones with the creativity. They're the ones that do the hiring. They're the ones who run the company. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show.
One 800 449 8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
What cruise?
My Mediterranean cruise.
How long did that last?
Well, the cruise lasted 10 days. These people that claim they have cancer are out for months. So you tell me who's charging the company more.
Well, you just faxed me my Luxor room bill here, and this is my room bill?
That's right. Your room ran $500 a night, $15. So you got somewhere in the neighborhood of $2,300.
And you don't pay for your room.
I told you why I don't pay for my room. I'm management. Management doesn't pay for its room. And I'll say it again. Somebody who gets cancer is out for months. I took a 10-day Mediterranean cruise. Cost the company somewhere in the neighborhood of, $23,000, $24,000. Now, who do you think is going to cost the company more? You got it. Somebody who couldn't take care of their health, comes down with breast cancer, and is out for months.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Amy on the Phil Henry Show. Amy, go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
I am completely and utterly outraged by this guy's comments. I hope to God, you or somebody in your family never, ever get cancer.
Have you ever had cancer, ma'am?
Pardon me?
Have you ever had cancer?
No, I have not.
Well, then I don't think you are in any place to comment.
Well, have you ever had cancer?
I've been on a 10-day cruise, and I know it's cheaper than somebody sitting on their rear end getting chemotherapy.
Have you ever had cancer?
Have I ever had cancer?
Yes.
You know what? My job sometimes is a cancer.
No, have you ever been diagnosed with cancer?
What do you mean you'd like to think you have?
I would like to think that I have been diagnosed with cancer.
Have you or haven't you?
I'd like to think I have.
That doesn't answer the question. Has a doctor said to you, you've got cancer?
I had a doctor say to me once he wanted to burn something off my skin.
Did he say you had cancer?
He said that if you wanted to call it that, you could.
Well, you know what? I hope to God you never get it, and I hope to God somebody you love doesn't get it, because I want to see how long you wait, or you tell your child, I'm sorry, I don't want to cost my company any more money. You're going to have to wait until you're almost dead before you're treated.
I didn't say almost dead, ma'am. I said, if a doctor...
That's basically what you're saying. Do you understand how breast cancer works?
Breast cancer is a very fast
progressing disease.
It goes
you have to catch it early and treat it early in order to survive. Can you understand that?
Well, one of the things that you don't know about breast cancer is if you catch, you'll catch it if you're eating too much white bread or this kind of thing.
Oh, no, so, you do not catch cancer.
Yes,
it is
do.
Not
well,
something
you
that
catch
you
it.
Catch. It is not a communicable disease.
No, I know that, but if you eat too much white bread, now that's, I read that in Reader's Digest, all right?
In Reader's Digest.
Yeah, so if you...
Is Reader's Digest a subsidiary of the American Journal of Medicine?
Yeah, what are we talking about here, man?
I'm saying, a woman that gets breast cancer, she's only got herself to blame. I mean,
okay.
Wait a second.
How about this? How about a man with testicular cancer or a man with prostate cancer?
Well,
is that different?
That much. You don't get that much after the age of 20, so now you're making fun of kids. Is that it?
What if a man has
prostate cancer? Should he get that taken care of immediately because he doesn't have breasts?
Or a uterus? If he's in management, yes, he should.
Oh, if he's in management.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, now we're getting to it. You're saying that people in management should get medical treatment sooner than regular employees.
Yes.
And
mm-hmm.
and your reasoning for that is because management has all of the ideas and has all of the...
We have to create... Who keeps the company running?
The working people keep the company running.
What are you talking about? They wouldn't know where to put the rivets in a Chevy if they weren't told by the engineer, and Mr. Henry wouldn't have a job, as I said, if I hadn't hired him. So the point is, if I die from whatever you call it, what do you call it?
Prostate cancer,
right,
Mr. Reader's Digest.
Well, you want to be smartass about it, lady, but I'm telling you, if I die from prostate cancer, this whole thing... Or nut cancer, whatever you call it, this whole thing...
It's not called nut cancer. It's called testicular
cancer.
All right. Well, then, this whole thing goes down the toilet.
Well, you know, you have just, in your last comment, have proven to me exactly what your intelligence level is.
Which means what?
That you can't say testicular. You have to say nut cancer, like the hillbilly you are.
You know...
And I'm listening to a bar, and I'm listening to music. You say...
We're having a seminar, a company seminar.
Well, the music I'm listening to sounds like some kind of strip music.
You ought to watch what you say, Phil, on a national radio program.
Well, you're the one that is telling people to put off their health care until they're almost dead, as this lady just said.
I didn't say almost dead. I said, don't be so selfish that you've got to run off and have your breast lopped off the first time some guy yells cancer, that's all.
Well, again, showing your intelligence, you don't have to have your breast lopped off at the first sign of cancer. If you knew anything about it, maybe you can make an intelligent statement.
Well, what would you like me to say? I tell you what, don't have your boob cut off and you know, and wait around and croak.
Well, you know what? Maybe you would save your company a whole heck of a lot of money if you were lobotomized.
Very funny, ma'am. Very funny.
Yeah, it is very funny. And what you're saying is very funny.
Show.
All right, thanks a lot, Amy. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Rena on the Phil Henry Show. Rena, go ahead.
I'm really surprised that you say you're from management. You don't seem to know anything about medicine, and yet you're practicing medicine.
What
if you got cancer of the breast? Men can get it. Where would you go?
Cancer of the what?
Of the breast. You've got breast.
I'm a guy. I'm a guy. I don't get that.
You can.
Oh, come on. I've seen
many a man with a cancer. I'm in the medical field. I know.
You're telling me guys get breast cancer? That's like
yes,
saying, that's like
very
saying
definitely.
Okay, and how many women get nut cancer? See what I'm saying?
We don't carry, we don't have prostate or the other. But you do have breasts, and can get breast cancer, jerk.
Ma'am, I've got pecs. I don't have breasts. All right? Now let's talk turkey, okay? First of all, I'm in management. Why shouldn't
I? But you're not in the medical field, so how do you know anything about what goes on medically?
All I know is this. When somebody runs off to have their nut removed, it costs this company...
Can you talk like you've got some education, please?
I'm sorry. When somebody runs off and has their testicle removed, it costs this money, this company a lot of money. Why not wait a couple of weeks? See if
because
it goes away.
It's not medically safe.
It is
and if you knew something about medicine, you wouldn't be on this program.
No doctor is going to tell you, David, hey, why don't you sit and wait, and maybe the breast cancer will go away.
Well, let me tell you something. I've heard about spontaneous remission of cancer. Maybe you two haven't, but I have, and I got faith. Faith in God.
Faith may do it once in a while,
faith
but not
God.
Most of the time.
I've seen
many people with horrendous cancers of the breast and men. Men and women.
Boy, you really
I work in the medical field. I'm a manager in the medical field. So why don't you just...
Wait a minute.
...floor away.
What, do you get some kind of a kick out of being around people like that? You know
I'm in the medical field and a manager.
Well, you said you know men
and
with
cancer. And you are trying to practice medicine when you take away that privilege from them getting help.
No, I'm not saying anything. They're going to have to pay for it themselves if they run off and do that.
I think that's nuts. And the other thing...
I don't think that's fair.
Having women deliver their own babies?
Women did it for hundreds of thousands of years. They delivered their own babies. Now all of a sudden, oh, well, we got to have a hospital. Oh, well, we got to have an ambulance. That's why employees get cancer. They got weak minds. And women can't deliver their own babies because their minds are weak.
That's not true. Women don't deliver their own babies because of infections. Have you looked at the statistics for the amount of infections that women
well,
that deliver
really,
their own babies
you
have?
Really, you know, you really do get a kick out of all this cancer and infections, don't you? You get a real thrill out of it, don't you?
She doesn't get a thrill.
I know
she
what
works,
I'm talking.
She works in the medical field. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We're talking to David G. Hall. He is the... and basically, we're talking to David G. Hall, who is the Vice President of Syndication for our show, talking about health benefits in employee-employer relationships. You've asked people who have cancer to put off treatment for as long as possible because it saves the company money.
I think gives people an excuse to be lazy because they feel sorry for themselves. Why me? Why me? Why me? What we're at, I don't want to come off sounding like I'm a heartless animal. I want to say this. If you have cancer, we want you to get the chemo and the surgery, but we're asking you to come back to work within a reasonable amount of time. Now, most people have what are called coffee breaks, lunch hours. If we put all of these together over a week period, you can have your chemo. And you can still get back to work after your lunch or after your coffee break. And the same thing goes with maternity leave. I find that to be the biggest waste of time because, let me tell you something, my wife's had two babies. And she was up and at it within hours. You want to know why? Because my wife's mind is tough. Her mind. And I'll tell you something, the Hall family has a history of very strong minds, and when we make up our minds, it's as firm as the Rock of Gibraltar. So that's why I say, you know, that we don't really understand this.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. I hear music, and
We're at a seminar right now.
You're at a seminar.
I'm actually on the set of a movie, all right? And we're trying to raise money for our company.
All right, let me go to Robert. Robert, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead. Robert?
Yes.
Go ahead, sir.
That guy, that CEO, he's got a lot of good ideas and all about going and spending money and everything. Enron, people at Enron had the same idea. But he made one statement that he couldn't be replaced because he was a CEO.
Who, me? No, I can't be replaced.
Do what?
I can't be replaced because I have the ideas.
Can you stick your hand in a bucket of water and pull it out and leave an imprint in that water?
Yes, I can.
You can?
Yes, sir.
Well, you must think you're Jesus Christ.
Let me tell you something, buddy. If you stick your hand in a bucket of water and pull it out, it swirls around.
The water closes up. You don't leave an imprint in the water.
So what?
But your way of thinking, I'm a CEO.
Yeah, I kind of blew your mind. I kind of blew your mind there, didn't I, Clem?
I'm a CEO in my business.
Yeah, you're a CEO in your business. Let me tell you what I'd like.
You know what I encourage people to
do? Do you have any children?
Get their priorities straight. Get God first in their life, their family second, their job third.
Do you have any children?
And they'll be glad to come to work just like you do as a CEO.
Are we having a conversation here, Robert, or are you giving a speech out of the Bible? What are you doing?
I'm giving a speech.
All right, see you later. Here is Diane on the Phil Henry Show. Hello? Diane?
Yes.
Go ahead, ma'am.
Okay. What I am calling about, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
I don't know.
I got to move into another room. I don't know if that's any better.
That's a lot better.
Okay, that's a lot better. I just wanted to let Amy know that I sure agree with her. But David, I'm sorry that I am a cancer survivor myself. I had uterine and ovarian cancer.
Everybody says that, but you never know if they're true.
And David, can I please talk?
Go ahead.
Could you be respectful enough to let me talk?
Sure.
Okay. I am a cancer survivor, and because my doctor had the ability to catch my cancer, I did not have to have any radiation treatment, nor did I have to have chemotherapy. Because he was able to do the surgery before it went into my lymph nodes.
Well, how do you know you don't
have
cancer right now?
Therefore, David, may I please finish?
You may now have cancer because you didn't get any chemo.
Okay.
See?
No.
Yeah, you could.
No.
Have you been back to the doctor? Have you been back to the doctor?
You know what? I have been a survivor for 9 years, and yes, I did go back to the doctor.
You may have cancer eating away at you right now and not know it.
She said she went to the doctor.
But she didn't have any chemo.
No, I didn't go to the doctor, David.
You know what, Diane, I want to tell you something. My company is having such a problem that we're forced to underwrite a pornographic film to get money for this company.
David?
Yes?
Can you be respectful enough to let us finish our conversation here?
No, you want to finish
my statement, okay?
Yeah, I would like to have a conversation instead of listening to you. Okay?
Because what I am saying
is... cancer, but I need to know how much time you took off work.
Surgery is important. And if they catch it ahead, then
minute,
we don't
Diane.
Have to have our breath
Diane,
cut off.
Diane, hold
and
on.
We don't
hold
have
on.
To have
Can you turn
any
the music
other
down
type
or something?
Of stuff.
I'm sitting here on the set of a porno movie because we got no money. And so we are forced to underwrite this porn flick.
You know what? Maybe you shouldn't go on any cruises, David.
Hey, maybe you
You know,
should
maybe,
go and get some
maybe
chemo.
That should be it. Another point I want to make, David, is that I happen to be
spot.
A manager of a bank.
What?
And I do not have to have my employees
I can't hear you.
On cruises.
I can't hear you.
Maybe you should move away from your porno movie.
Say it again. Say it again.
I said I am also a manager at a bank.
Huh?
At the third largest bank in the nation.
Is it the third largest bank in the nation?
And I do not have my employees take cruises, nor do we take cruises.
Oh, I'll bet you don't. I'll bet you really treat your people good.
You
get to go
betcha
on a cruise.
We do.
You get to go on a cruise,
you know?
But they all got to stay back.
We do not have to go on
Hold
a cruise.
On for a minute,
no,
Diane.
We don't.
I got to check somebody for breast cancer.
We
Run
don't.
Over here,
we
honey.
Don't have to do that. And
all right.
David,
okay, thanks, Diane. 1-800-449. Will you turn that music down, please?
Cut! Pain in the ass you are. But still, if you put another caller that doesn't agree with me on the air, I'm going to bill you. I'm going to bill you for the call.
Okay, Fred, go ahead.
Yeah, didn't David there say people with weak minds get cancer, and didn't he say he was diagnosed with cancer, or he liked to think so?
No, I did not.
Yes, you did.
No, I did not.
You said you'd like to think so.
But I didn't say I got it.
Well, but you said you thought you had it, and the doctor said you could call it that if you wanted. Well,
what do you call that? Is that a diagnosis of cancer?
Well, I don't know, but I'm just saying what you said, and I know nothing about the medical field.
Have you ever had cancer?
No.
All right.
And like I said, I'm not even want to talk about the cancer because I don't know. But how can you go to your employees and ask them to do all this stuff? I own my own business, and I wouldn't go to my employees and say, I need to cut your medical, but I'm going to take my family on a vacation for $15,000 and then $25,000. That's the problem with America these days, and you're telling me your radio station has no money. You're forced to run to write this porno movie, but we're spending money left and right. It starts with management to me, and management should set the precedent as to what they want the employees to do.
Let me ask you a question. Why shouldn't I be able to fire any employee who comes to me and says they got cancer?
Well, I don't disagree with that.
All right, then why don't I? But no, I got to give him all his health benefits and everything else. I didn't say don't get your health benefits. I just said as soon as you get your chemotherapy, get back in the office.
No, and I'm not disagreeing with that.
I'm saying
you're telling them you want them to wait because you have no money.
Right.
The part I'm disagreeing with, you're saying you need to save money.
Right.
And so on and so on.
Yes.
But yet you're out spending money left and right.
How can I manage your employees? No, but I'm in management.
I don't care if you own the place.
Well,
I own my business, and I wouldn't go to my employees and say, hey, I want you to wait to save the company money. We're having a little bit of a financial problem.
Well, we are.
I'm going to go on a cruise for $20,000.
That's different. We are.
How's it different?
How's that different?
Because we can't afford to pay the health and benefits of the employees, but we can afford to send managers on these cruises.
That's a bunch of crap. You know how much
corporate visa
you can buy for $20,000?
Look, I got a corporate visa with $1 million limit.
Well, then pay for some medical for your employees.
I've been forced to debase myself and this company by underwriting a porno movie so we can raise enough money to meet with next week's payroll.
And that's what that music is?
For cruises and stuff, you wouldn't have that problem. That's what I'm saying.
This starts
with management. It doesn't start with the employees.
If
the company has no money, that's a management problem.
Let me tell you something. If Mr. Henry, I'll tell you how my life is, Fred. If Mr. Henry doesn't get good ratings in the next rating book, it wouldn't matter to me if everybody in his family got cancer. I'd fire him.
Thank you.
Well, that's the job.
Well, and I understand that. I've got a business
plan. I'm here on the set with one of the greatest porn stars in the world, Tad Pohl. All right, put him in a porn movie.
Well, if Mr. Henry doesn't do his job, then that is your job to fire him and find someone else that does it.
Fred, hold on. I got to check this girl for rectal cancer.
All right. That's fine. Fred, thank you.
All righty.
1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
That David Hall character, the voice of him, was done by me and all the people that called in. They thought he was a real guy, and that's the Phil Henry Show. Go to our website, philhenryshow.com. Figure it out. One thing you can't do is figure the show out in one listening or even two. And meeting everybody as I met them this past weekend in Las Vegas, I had people telling me, oh, you know, it took me a week to figure your show out. I said, that's cool. Then, of course, you have the people, it took me months before I figured out it wasn't you. Those are the ones that I have some concern over. Those are the people that I hope can get into the oncology unit and get a brain x-ray quickly. It took you months? The scariest one is I had a guy from a local TV station here in Los Angeles say that, a reporter. And I wanted to say, looks like we might want to look into that opening over there at AMCO because I don't think you want to be doing that reporting thing much longer. You're a reporter. It took me about 6 months before I figured out that you're the voice is, I don't know, too goofy. So go to our website, philhenryshow.com, and look into it. You'll be glad you did. 1-800-449-8686. Getting on more with the thanks from our Las Vegas trip, I failed to mention all of the guys behind the scenes there at the Luxor Hotel. Craig Taylor, Chris Pelton, Janice Ungaro, our producer, and everybody that helped out with security. And it's kind of interesting standing there and having all these goons stand. I shouldn't say goons, but all these guys standing around you, not wanting anybody to come near you. But at one point in the evening, I was grateful for it because there was a guy who was just drunk. And,
hey, Phil, hey, man.
Comes up and starts pounding the table. And then he sat down next to me and he said,
Phil, I'm going to marry a woman with three kids. What do you think? Huh? Can you tell me what you think?
And they had to grab him and pull him out of there. I said, I told him, don't do it, man. Don't do it. As they pulled him screaming away, don't do it, brother. And we brought the kids, but they couldn't get into the club. Everybody wanted to see him. There's no way they wouldn't let him into the club. Little twerpy kids are not allowed in there in Vegas, man. Plus, you got to be 15 feet away from the slot machines. Did you know that? If you're under the age of 21, you have to be at least 15 feet away from the slot machines. And what happened yesterday in the airport, I had Alex with me, our 15-year-old, and he goes, go use this machine. He was actually directing me to which machines to use. And I had his money. And he got a little too close on occasion, and I could hear the woman, please, sir, back 15 feet. Okay, you old bag. All right, look, go to that machine. And watch your tongue with that lady. Yeah, sure. Go to that machine. Go to the silver. Go to the Elvis one. Go to the Wheel of Fortune. And finally, sure enough, after about, I'd say, $5 worth of quarters, I hit like a $20. I hit a little $20 spin. I got the double bars, you know, so he thinks that he's God's gift to gambling now. Yeah, it was me. I picked the machine. So it was a great time. But you got to see this Blue Man Group. You got to see these guys. This is a show that is unbelievable in so many different aspects. I mean, there is written word, there's audience participation, there's comedy, there's music. The music is outstanding. And there's also the possibility, as I mentioned last hour, of real injury to yourself. And that's the most exciting part of this show. Now, what they do is, the climax to the show, they send down long streams of, crepe paper? Crepe paper. It's long streams of toilet paper almost. And it covers the entire audience. They're sending it down from the back of the theater over the tops of the heads of all the audience members. And everybody's pulling it. And there's people, members of the crew, in the front of the audience around the stage, and they're pulling it down. So after a while, the stuff gets to be really thick, and you start to really revel in it, and you're enjoying it, and you're like a kid. You got all this paper that you're playing in. At one point, it got so thick, I was buried in it. And I'm underneath it, and I'm giggling like a kid. Everybody's, I'm in paper. It's all paper. And my wife is under there, and my kids are punching each other, and everybody's going ape in the crowd, right? This paper is like 2 or 3 feet over me, man. I mean, at no time was I worried about suffocating, but at one point I thought, maybe I should worry about suffocating. Oh, no, I can't because it's paper and I can breathe through it. But, this is what I was. So then I'm feeling so exuberant, I jump through the paper and I stand up. And I'm pumping my fist in the air, and there's all this phenomenal music. And the sound there in that Luxor Theater is fantastic. It's really good sound. Plus, they've got neon effects that are going. They got this amazing percussion that's going. They've got stuff suspended from the ceiling, like those big tubes that were suspended from the ceiling twirling. And the crowd is going ape, and this paper is coming down. So I jumped up through the paper, only to find out that I started to get tangled in it and I was being dragged over the row in front of me. And of course, I'm looking for my wife, too, and I can't see her anywhere. She's next to me, but there's just like 6 feet of paper everywhere that you look. I'm going, Maria! Maria, where are you, Maria? And I'm getting yanked over this thing until finally one of the crew runs over and says, get out of there! Get yourself out of there as quickly as you can, sir! You know, it's like something, it's like, you know, run for your lives! Yeah, it's like Riptide or something. Get out of the water, the shark. She says, don't hold on to it. Let go of it. And so I did. I got out of it just in time. Otherwise, I would have been dragged to my death. I'm kidding about the death part because I don't want anybody not going to see Blue Man Group. But I got disengaged from the paper, and I made my way back into the sea. It was cool, although I felt kind of chastised by the lady saying, "Let go of it!" Totally awesome. And when you can say, yeah, I went to Blue Man Group, and I almost got dragged down. I was almost dragged over three rows of seats. It's a pretty cool thing. You know you're in for it when you sit down, and the first 10 rows are identified as poncho. Everybody in the first 10 rows has to put on a plastic poncho. Because there's paint effects, and there's the spewing of stuff, and, you know, there's, you know, simulated vomit. It's great. And then they bring you crepe paper, and so what do I do with this? Just wear it. So you're, like, you're wrapping it around your head and this kind of stuff. No, Gallagher doesn't open for him. Although he has the same poncho thing going on, doesn't he? Yeah, the first 10 rows, you got to wear a poncho. And then they have, the coolest part of the show was, at the beginning, before anybody was on stage, there is this trailing message. What do you call those things anyway, man? There's like a message machine. You know, it's a message bar that's just trailing like you see in the bank, and it says, no photographs, please. It's called it's a message scroll, scrolling message. No photographs, please. And then it says, Mary Johnson is in the audience tonight. How about saying hello, Mary? Ready? Go. And everybody goes, hello, Mary. Bob Franken is in the audience tonight, and Bob has a headache. Let's give Bob the cure for a headache. Ready? Go. Bob, imagine your headache is a cow, and the cow can be turned into steaks. That's what your headache is. And then there was one that says, Phil Henry's in the audience tonight. Let's ask him to leave. Ready? Go. Phil, get out of here. But I didn't. This is Blue Man Group right here. It's Phil Henry's show.
Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
I want to get this out of the way right away because I know there are so many guys that are going to benefit from this information, and I really wanted to. I asked our newsroom to get it in here. I wanted to get as much on this as I could, as much background as I could, so that we could get this out at the top of the show because we have so many people that suffer. So many people that are suffering under misinformation, and we really want to get this out there. So I know a lot of you are going to want to write this down, get a pencil and paper out, and write this down. According to Reuters, your shoe size has nothing whatsoever to do with the size of your penis. I repeat again, your shoe size has nothing whatsoever to do with the size of your penis. Now, I know a lot of you are taking notes. Call our information line or check our website for more. But your shoe size, according to British scientists, has nothing whatsoever to do with your penis. Now, this was based upon some research at St. Mary's Hospital in London. And they told the Reuters Health Service, and I'm quoting now directly, there is no point using shoe size to obtain indirect measurements of penile length, end quote. So that's something we wanted to get right out there, right at the top of the show, because so many of you suffer under the misconstrued information, the illusions. So many of you are just plain stupid, and we wanted to get that information out there for you pea brains who thought that it did. Thank you. And I know when I say pea brains, I'm really not talking to the guys. I'm talking to the women, okay? So I have a size 10.5, and that's pretty small for a man's penis. But I'll tell you, it's fine by me. Now, on to other information. This is from AskMen.com. You may want to weigh in on this at 1-800-449-8686. Well now, say now, what are the top 10 places to meet women, huh? Well, I'll tell you right now, according to AskMen, a bar ain't the best place to meet a woman. You didn't have to go on his website. You could have asked me that question 20 to 25 years ago. And I could have told you a bar is not a good place to meet women. Not that I didn't meet any, but that the relationships that ensued were in some instances almost homicidal. You go to a bar and you meet a woman in a bar and you basically are meeting someone who likes to drink. That's the first thing you know about her. You want to meet somebody with something in common? Go to a bar. What do you got in common? We both like to drink. And I don't know about you, but for my money, that's the beginning of a beautiful relationship. You'd love to get a relationship off knowing that the two of you like to drink, in some instances, to excess. That's going to definitely send you down the primrose path of wedded bliss. I always like to, in my mind, see the beginning and see the end of a relationship, but nothing in between. So if you could just jam the two together. Beginning of relationship. Hi, how are you? And he's clinking his beer glass against hers, and she very coyly smiles. End of relationship. She's loading hefty bags filled with his body parts into the back of her SUV, and she's driving it in the dead of night to a place to dump it. Okay? There you go. Beginning. Walking down a beach. The sun setting. The waves crashing. Looks like something out of a feminine hygiene commercial. His hand in hers. Her hand in his. They're on their way to a candlelit dinner. Cut to end of relationship, three muffled gunshots ring out in an apartment courtyard. And then someone runs down the steps quickly to an MG. And races away. All right, go where few have gone before, says AskMen.com. A woman's defenses are up at a bar or a party. True. You need to approach her in a place where she's relaxed and receptive to meeting you. Yeah, women are uptight in bars. That's why they go to them. Huh? Women are extremely uptight around men in bars because it is a very predatory atmosphere. So they're tense. They're uptight. They really don't want to be there. So why are they there? I don't know. Maybe they got talked into going there by their girlfriends. Maybe they know that that's probably the best shot they got at meeting a guy, and in order to stomach being there, they got to get hammered. See? But me, I always met the one that was responsible.
So, how are you? My name's Phil.
That's nice, Phil.
Do you want to dance?
No, thank you.
Okay.
There you go. That was the extent of my socializing in bars. So what is the top place to meet a woman? Well, number 10, they say a building supply or hardware store. Yeah, that's right, a building supply or hardware store. Many women, according to AskMen.com, wander around hardware store aisles with very little idea of what they're doing and lots of questions. Well, ain't that cute? Yeah, gay women. Dykes. If she looks like she's trying to decide which item to buy, politely offer a suggestion and show her anything else she may need, like shaving lotion. According to one woman, I once went to the hardware store looking for caulking. And I found All right, number 9. Here's a great idea. This is AskMen.com. Umpire or referee, a woman's sports team. Sure! All right, if any of you ladies need, if any of you ladies need a jock strap or anything. Yeah, umpire or referee, a woman's sports team. And you'll need a lot of dykes. Not only do you get to be surrounded by a group of sweaty, athletic women, but you also may meet someone who shares your love of sports. Try consoling a woman from the losing team and point out one of the excellent plays she made. Or approach a woman from the winning team. You know what you're going to get? You're going to get a buddy. You're going to get a gay woman who's, that's pretty good. You want to go bowling sometime? And that's her voice, not yours. Or approach a woman from the winning team. You know, the one that you didn't coach. Since her endorphins will be soaring from the exercise and the victory, she may be in a state to say no to you, but yes to just about any woman in the crowd. All right. Jesus. That's AskMen.com. Where to meet women. Here you go. Here's number 8. Any long lineups at a bank, the DMV, or an amusement park? See, I always like to go to amusement parks by myself. And then hit on women in the line there for It's a Small World. Women are always ready to meet a guy who goes to amusement parks all by himself. Hi, what's your name? John David Hinckley. That's wonderful. Or is it Mark David Chapman? Hi, I'm Mark Chapman. Nice to meet you. Great. As you crawl over the chair barrier, or the chain barrier. All right. This is the time to pull out the wit. Funny one-liners can break the monotony of the wait. At the bank, you can be the fun element in a normally tedious and sometimes stressful ending. For instance, at the bank, you could say something like, "Hit the floor, he's got a gun." I'm only kidding. Also, at airports, it's nice to meet women waiting in those long security lines. You can say things like, "I have a Kalashnikov rifle in my bag." And if nothing else, do some soft shoe. Ding. At an amusement park, lineups are often over an hour long. Plenty of time to chat her up and convince her to spend the rest of the day with you, provided she's not there with her boyfriend. You never know what kind of rides you might end up on. All right. That's number eight. Well, the only ride you're going to wind up on with some of those chicks from the women's sports team, you'll be at the receiving end of a vibrator, Charlie. Did you see Sopranos last night? All right, that was, yeah, there you go. Anybody see Sopranos last night, you know what I'm talking about. That Janice, boy, the sooner she gets shot and killed and out of that cast, the better for all of us. Am I right or am I wrong about that? The sooner that Tony's sister Janice gets whacked by Ralphie, the better. Last year, Ralphie beat the hell out of that poor dancer, and that was horrifying. Everybody hated Ralphie's guts for that, which I still do, by the way. I can't stand that character. But this year, it seems like maybe we need a little bit of that pathological behavior from Ralphie. Because Janice is a real piece of work. Number seven, good place to meet women, bookstores. Here's your chance to prove there's more to you than your swashbuckling good looks and rugged body. Check out a woman who's browsing in your favorite sections. Notice the lip hair and the horn-rimmed glasses. This gives you the opportunity to ask her about her skin condition. And can she dry it up with those pads that come in a jar? No. This gives you the opportunity to ask her about a book she may have read. In fact, if you're into the librarian type, you don't just have to go to a bookstore. You can probably just knock on someone's door. Friday night. Hello, anybody in there? I am. Okay, no date. This gives you the opportunity to ask her about a book she may have read or recommend one that you've read, especially over a latte at the bookstore's coffee shop. Did you ever see Heat with Robert De Niro and Al Pacino? Remember when he meets the girl and Robert De Niro meets Amy Brenahan in that bookstore? Like, that never happens. The thing what you should do, really, let me give you from my standpoint, and I think this will help a lot of you guys. Go into a bookstore, go over to the magazine section. Now, you know where the lattes are served. And they have, for instance, Barnes & Noble has a latte section and Borders and those places. Go over, get a high society or hustler, and go over and sit down in the coffee section next to a woman and just open up the fold out. Just, "Oh, hi, how are you? I just was kind of relaxing here." You know, she's reading Hegel or Kant or something, and you got that big, frightening, white trash spread just pulled out. And you're licking your thumb while you're turning the pages. You should do that because women are interested in men who are literate, erudite, bookish, and literate. And or just, you know, if you really want to slum, go get the Kama Sutra and just thumb through that. She'll really dig you. All right, we'll be back with more great places to meet chicks, like you could anyway, right? Like you guys really had a shot anyway, huh? I had two guys at the thing this weekend. "Hey, Phil." Guys are from Orlando. Two New Yorkers from Orlando. "Hey, Phil. And get some young babes here at this thing, huh? Let's get some young chicks at this thing, huh?" We had some good-looking women at that thing. And they weren't all just coming with their boyfriends, too. They were all like listeners. Check out the website. I think we got a picture of a few of them. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
Here's another one where you're supposed to meet women. Painting, cooking, or a language class. Can I simply say about cooking classes, I don't like them. I actually went to one night with, it was a couple's date. and there was like 8 or 9 couples, and somebody had the bright idea to go over to one of these cooking culinary school places where you can learn how to make spring rolls and crap on a bun or whatever. And then, of course, we serve that with the Pinot Grigio. Okay, people, does everybody have an apron? Does everyone have an apron? You don't have an apron? Who doesn't have an apron? And you're standing around and you're, okay, here's my apron. Where's my apron? I don't know where my apron is. Yeah. Okay, you don't have one, sir? Sir? Yeah, that's me. My name's Phil. Okay, Phil, do you have an apron? No, I don't have my apron. Here you go. Where should I put the things that we need paper towels? Okay, they need paper towels over here, Benny. Benny, they need paper towels over here. Now, does everybody have enough of the noodle ingredient? Does everyone have enough of the pureed noodle? Because you're going to want to put that inside that little spring roll tortilla. Okay. And all you want to do is eat. This is a true story. Maria says, hey, let's go to this cooking class thing. Benny and Susie Phlebitis, they put this thing together. Oh, yeah, it's great, honey. And what time is it? Friday night at 7:30. Oh, bitchin'. I mean, I'm getting off the air. I'm getting off the air because the show is taped between 4 and 7 Pacific. For those of you who don't carry the show live, you may want to bother your radio station until the program director bleeds from the nose about putting us on live, because it's a lot more fun live. But anyway, I digress. I get up there at 7:30. I'm starving. I figure, well, this will be a good place where I might be able to get myself something to eat. And I get in the car and I drive over there. And I show up, and I go in. Well, there are a lot of people that I know, nice people, and the woman's up there. She's got on the apron. She's about, oh, I don't know, 40, 45, matronly, with the, you know, the sort of the big multicolored springtime apron tied around her waist, and she has a variety of utensils, and tonight we're going to make something. I don't know what. She's pitching everybody. All right. Here is a lemon zester. And the lemon zester simply takes a lot of the peeling off. You want to keep those peels. Because then we'll put it over here. Now, the other thing we'll have, Betty, can I have, you know, she's got 4 women behind her, and they're all collecting their stuff. They're showing you everything. I'm getting hungrier and hungrier. She's talking. She says, what are we making today? I look at Maria. She goes, I don't know. Do you have your apron? Do you have your lemon zester? Do you have, no, I don't have any of this crap. Well, stay there, and maybe go, okay. And you need a tray to, where's your tray? You're late. I know I'm late. I got off the air. I ran over here as fast as I could. What am I in? I go from one pressure patch situation to another. I guess got off the air. Now I'm in here. I don't have my lemon zester. I want to go out to the car, get inside of it, and you'll suddenly just hear the muffled pistol shot and the whole windshield just sprayed with red. I'll walk out in my apron, and I'll do that. Smoke a cigarette, put it out, get in the car, and you'll just see the windshield. That's what my lemon zester did for me. So the woman's, so we're going to make spring rolls, everybody. Well, I'm going to tell you what. We stood there and we rolled our spring rolls and we rolled our spring rolls. Some of the people I knew, some of the people I didn't. I was there with about, like I say, 4 or 5 other couples. But there was a whole bunch of people, some you didn't know. And I suppose in the minds of some individuals, mostly female, this is a great way to meet people. No guy that I meet at a lemon zesting class is anybody that I'm going to want to have anything to do with. I have to tell you, and this is probably wrong of me, but I'm going to say it anyway. I don't really trust men who are not into some kind of spectator sport. I'm being very honest. I don't like or get along with men who do not have some passion for a spectator sport. I'm not talking about Charlie running out there on Saturday morning in his little tennis togs. I don't mean some guy, hey, Phil, want to come down to the racquetball club? No, I don't. Well, why not? Because it sounds boring, and I'd rather kill myself. But if you don't mind, I'll stay at my house this weekend, suck down a few Heinekens, and watch some college football. Oh, yeah? Do you like football? No, not really. Not really into it. I'm not really into spectator sports. I like to jog. I like to hit the racket. Okay, well, tell you what, have a nice life. So I like these are the kind of guys that I like. A guy that can throw some cards, likes a spectator sport. I don't care, hockey, basketball, doesn't matter, horse racing, unless the guy has this real passion for tennis. I'm seriously, you know, because Marie will say, why don't you invite him over? He seems like a nice guy. Nah, the guy's he's nothing. You know. Oh come on, you know you're having a poker game. Invite him. I don't want to invite him. Well, why? Because he's seems like a creep to me. I don't want the cat over here, right?
He's a nice guy. He's in the tennis club. Blah.
Guys that like horse racing, poker, and professional football, and an occasional cigar, my kind of guys. I can hang with those guys all day long. Horse racing, poker, and professional football, and the occasional cigar. And if they like to knock down a couple of shots of tequila along the way, nothing too heavy, all the better. You know? But you meet a lot of guys, hey, like this cat came to our house once, my sister-in-law's boyfriend. This dude came over for Thanksgiving. There's a football game on, man. You want to, I don't really like that. Yeah, okay. So what are you doing, man? I'm going to lay down because I want to watch. She was laying on the floor. What are you going to? Oh, my God. One of the things I've always looked forward to, and I've never been able to see it, and it's on TV right now. What's that? The Lethal Weapon series is coming on. Oh, man. Anyway, I don't want to put down people. I'm just telling you the kind of people that I like. A lot of guys will tell you the kind of women they like. I got the woman that I like. I'm just talking about the kind of guys I like to hang around with. And I don't have hardly any friends in the radio business. The people that I'm closest to in the radio business are like people like Craig and Chris and Janice who work for me. But other radio personalities, I don't like them. You know why? Because most of those guys are dimbulbs. And they're dullsville. And, you know, they're guys like Ryan Seacrest. I'm kidding. Ryan, you're probably a nice guy. I don't know anything about you. I'm sure you'll be happy with him. I mean, Art Bell I like. Art's the only guy I like. Because Art, you know, he'll smoke a couple of cigars. He watches football. And he's out of his freaking mind. I like a guy like that. But Ryan Seacrest, I just don't go into those kind of clubs. And Neil Saavedra, because he can kick anybody's ass on earth. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
My good friend Janice Ngero, who also produces our show, she's from Vancouver, Canada, and this coming Monday, a week from today, is the Canadian Thanksgiving. And I said, well, do you need to take Monday off for Thanksgiving in Canada? She said, no, we'll have it early. And then I got to thinking, boy, the poor kid, she's got to fly out on Saturday morning and come back on Sunday. And I said, would you like to take Friday off? And she looked at me hopefully and then said, no. And then I realized I'd made a big mistake because now she's going to think about it and she'll want Friday off and I'll have to tell her I've changed my mind. She can't have it off. Screw her and the Canadian Thanksgiving. But don't tell her I said it, okay? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Moving along. So did I finish my cooking class story? Unbelievable. And all those guys, you know, my wife, oh, do you want to go over to so-and-so's house? Oh, do you want to go to this person's house? Do you want to go to that person's house? These are all friends of yours. No, I don't want to go to these people's house. Why? Well, first of all, they drink wine, and that's all they drink is wine. Second of all, they want to do cooking classes and go to the yacht club. I don't want to do any of that. And thirdly, they play tennis. All right, let's quit beating that to death, all right? It's only going to make my wife feel like she wants to stick a freaking rolling pin in my ear when I get home. Another place to meet women, dance, aerobics, or yoga classes. Once she realizes you're straight, she'll be very impressed by your ability to express your less masculine traits. See, right there, they indicate that only gay guys dig yoga, aerobics, or dance. When I was living in Sierra Madre, one of the things that would keep me awake on Monday nights, they had a tap dancing class in this church that I lived next door to. Every Monday night, there's people out there doing the soft shoe with the freaking taps. And I thought I was seeing things and hearing things, and then my girlfriend at the time said, oh, tap, yeah, I take that. Well, what, huh? So what, all of a sudden we're Bojangles, is that it? When I thought tap dancing went out with Jim Crow. Seriously, who taps anymore? Now you know that they, of course, do tap because we went and saw that Bring In The Noise, Bring In The Funk. And it's nothing but tap dancing, and it's nothing but black performers tap dancing. And so all of those stereotypes that we have labored years, decades, perhaps centuries, to finally throw off, and a new generation of young African-American performers willingly reinforce them. Yeah, let's tap dance. Dude's just freaking tap dancing. Put on some spats, get a parasol and a top hat, man, and it's a Bing Crosby movie. And then all you got to do is just give me that big white smile. So maybe that tap dancing thing isn't such a stereotype, and maybe we ought to bust out all them watermelon jokes again, too. I don't know. Once she realizes you're straight, she will be impressed by your ability to express your less masculine traits. She'll want you as a friend, but have sex with you? She would rather wash a tramp's private parts. That's right. That's right. Women are very impressed with men who can express their less masculine traits, but sleep with them? They'd rather have breast cancer. And not only will you be improving your own physique, you'll be surrounded by a classroom full of sculpted, scantily clad, sweating women all over the age of 60. Now let's go to number 5, sporting events. Oh yeah, sure, that's a great place to meet women. Actually, I had season tickets to the Rams. There was a lady that sat down the aisle from us. By the way, my good friend Craig Taylor says he only dates dancers. What sex? Sporting events. Yes, some women actually go to games, too, and maybe just to see the built men running around in tight pants or shorts. Go with a friend and pay a little less attention to the game and a little more to the women watching it. Go with a friend. What guy goes to a freaking football game by himself? Unless you can't get anybody to go with you, you know, and it happens. It's, you want to go to the game? No, I can't. Want to go to the game? No, I can't. Want to go to the game? No, I can't. Well, I'm going to go. Go with a friend and pay a little less attention to the game, a little more to the woman, to the women watching it. Yet nothing makes a woman feel more comfortable than a guy that's at a football game paying more attention to the chicks than to the game. There's something really wrong. You ever been to a football game where there are women? The women are very passionate about the game. That is, unless they were dragged there as a date. But more the more rabid fans, a lot of these women, they're sitting down in the first, second, and third rows in the dog pound, wearing the horns. They're nuts. They paint their faces, and all they want to do is talk about football. Sit next to a couple of women and ask their opinions on a debate you and your buddy are having about the last play, the players, or previous games of the season. Switch teams if you have to. Just don't let the scoring happen on the field. All right, here is Rachel. Hi, Rachel. Welcome to the Phil Henry Show.
Hi, Phil.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Thank you for having the temerity to call our program this evening.
Yeah, I enjoy your show.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, how about that? I was expecting you to say that you hated it.
No, no. Okay. I enjoy you.
But, hi, Phil. I enjoy your show. Don't feel bad about it. All right, great.
No, about the tap dancing thing.
Aha.
No, I totally agree with you about the...
Huh?
I agree with you about, you know, meeting... Sorry.
Yeah, well, your meet and guy days are over, baby.
No, yeah, well, I've got a husband and two
That's
girls.
That's right. Yeah, and you met your husband in a tap dancing class. Well, that's wonderful.
No, but he grew up in L.A.
Yeah.
And he tap danced. And the whole thing about the Jim Crow thing, I don't think that's valid. I don't think.
Now,
you know what I mean? Like,
now,
I think
How is it for your children being half white and half black? Are they okay in school? Are they?
Was he's that a your, white man.
Was that your kid or was that your husband in the background?
That was my child.
Okay. So he's a white man who you met in a tap dancing class?
No, he was a tap dancer years ago in L.A.
Okay, so. I can see why he's moved. I don't know, what call was there for tap dancing here?
Oh, well, he doesn't do it anymore.
Working floor show? I can see why.
He did it at a church talent show.
So what is he, now he's tap dancing in Salt Lake City? It's a hotbed of tap dancing? There's a huge underground tap dancing culture in Salt Lake City, as opposed to the Los Angeles tap dancing. So well, cool. I think that tap dancing is fine if you can do it.
Yeah, right? I wish that he would practice it more.
So. Did he do it for exercise or did it professionally?
He did it in like competitions and stuff like that. They went to Las Vegas and did all
tap dancing competition.
Uh huh. And you're right, though. Most of the people that he tap danced with were
black guys,
African American.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was neat. I've seen videos and it's neat. I think it's neat. So.
All right. It's nice talking to you.
Thanks,
Get some caps on those kids. Like
okay.
To see them dancing, you know. And okay. you know what he might do is he could start a tap dancing class at the Tabernacle Choir over there, over at the Mormon thing. Just forget it. It's stupid.
No. Cool.
No, really. No, it's no good.
Okay.
No, you don't have to feel me. Okay. Bye.
Thanks, Phil.
See? Don't make me feel better. No, it's real funny, Phil. Yeah. Tap dancing, you know. No. No, forget. No, really. We can do that. I can laugh at that. Just let me warm up to it. So, what did I say? Sporting events?
Yeah, that was the last one.
Well, the last one was sporting events. I don't know what the hell I did with it, but... Okay, now, moving on. Lectures or demonstrations. These events are usually rallied around passionate and controversial subjects, and the atmosphere is usually emotionally charged, making female attendees more emotionally available or vulnerable and open to... Oh, bullcrap. Yeah, sure. These events are usually rallied around passionate and controversial subjects... Yeah. Hey, I got a great idea. Go to a lecture by the Dalai Lama of Tibet. It's so passionate. I guarantee you will be in a full coma within 20 minutes of that thing starting. My wife dragged me to one of these distinguished speaker series, and he was speaking. And within, I'd say, 15 minutes, I couldn't be revived. I was flatlining. They had three, just, you know, the cherries going on the top of an ambulance out back. Oh, excuse me, I better stop, man. I felt Roy pass out.
Jesus.
What's up with you? Look, Dalai Lama, Your Excellency, man, I gotta...
Gee, well, you don't like the date, man. What are you doing here?
My wife dragged me to it. The hell are you talking about, man? How about those small business seminars? Those are just...
Okay, everybody. Say, McKinley Laminated Nut Fasteners this past fall has made over 150% for the last quarter.
Yay.
You too can own land in the Sahara Desert.
Do you know the great land opportunities that are available to you in Mozambique? Or the motivational speakers? When I went and saw Aaron Brockovich, I'm going to tell you something. Now listen to me, because you guys know who I'm talking about. Aaron Brockovich was the subject of a movie. You're all familiar with the Julia Roberts movie. I went and I heard her speak. And within 10 minutes, I wanted to go up on stage and strangle her with twine that I had in the trunk of my car. Because all of a sudden, I realized I was listening to a woman who is... I saw her at the Thousand Oaks Civic Arts Plaza. And all of a sudden, I'm listening to Aaron Brockovich. Now, the story is an interesting story. She did all of those things. She went out to Hinckley, California. She interviewed all those families. She went out there with the attorney, I forget his name, Ed Masry, who's now the mayor of Westlake Village. But, you know, as she told her story, I listened to it. Then she got into stories about how she was, for instance, let me put it this way. It got off of the Hinckley stuff, and it got into be at peace, meditate, be calm. When you rise in the morning, wash, perform your morning ablutions, be sure to anally cleanse, and then go into the pool. And, excuse me, what are you, the Maharishi all of a sudden here, man? I mean, I know all about how you cleaned up PG&E. Now you're going to start laying on me messages about life? I mean, she's a very, very successful businesswoman. But she's also in love with herself. And I'll tell you another thing. When they finally had a Q&A, she thought she was leaving. And they said, hey, Aaron, could you stay for Q&A? And she referred to the person who was going to be asking the questions as she. And she said, oh, now she wants to ask me questions. Like that? Like real snooty? I wanted to go up and put a freaking boot in her squack. That's what I wanted to do. A steel-toed boot. Yeah, that's where I'm going to meet a lot of women. The only woman I met there was my wife. I met her there at 7:30, and I was so sorry. See, one of the things Marie will say to me, hey, what are you doing Wednesday night? I'm coming home and collapsing on the floor. Why? What are you doing on Wednesday night? What are you talking about? What am I doing Wednesday night? I'm coming home from work. Do you want to go and see Aaron Brockovich at the Thousand Ghosts of the Ba-ba-ba-ba-boo? No, I really, well, okay. Yeah, you know, you never want to go and see anything that I like to see, and you never want to join me in anything. Because, you know, I'm really into this. I want to improve my mind. And yeah, okay, I'll go. You know what you should do, guys? Go to meet women at abuse survivor meetings. I'm sure they're really ready to meet guys. They're really into men at those meetings. Go to a meeting of women who've been beaten by men. Chapter six, you know.
Hello, this is the Hollywood chapter of women who've been beaten by men.
And go in and go, how you doing? Latte later on? Yeah, she'll love you. Okay, 1-800-449-8686 here on the Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back with more bullcrap.
And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
Back with more commentary on all this stuff. But first, a word about the Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt that's available on the Phil Henry Show website. A little known fact, Ted Bell took over his Beverly Hills steakhouse from his father back in 1981 after his old man nearly lost it from drinking up the profits. Since then, Ted's been at the forefront of fine dining with not only serving the finest steaks in town, but also pioneering the wrapping of tinfoil around baked potatoes. Oh, the holidays are a sight to behold when children from all over gather to pull a hot one off of Ted's now famous baked potato tree. Well, since he began, Ted has not only made his mark at the premier steakhouse in Beverly Hills, but has graciously given back to the community in his own unique way, from providing stiff security checks of his restaurant patrons by gently but firmly requiring them to drop their pants, bend over, and pick up a quarter at the height of the 9/11 attacks, to conserving power during the last energy crisis by supplying ice-filled wash tubs for the elderly patrons to sit in. Yes, of course, the younger, hipper customers could sit inside and enjoy the air-conditioned atmosphere, but that's beside the point. Now, on the 21st anniversary of the well-known eatery, Ted has given the Phil Henry Show exclusive distribution rights for this commemorative shirt. Designed by Ted Bell for Ted Bell in honor of Ted Bell, this top-quality shirt is soft, comfortable, poly-rayon gabardine blend featuring a notched collar lapel, hemmed cuff, welt pocket, and a full front placket with five pearl buttons. What does that mean? Anyway, sporting a richly embroidered Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse logo on the back, approximately 6 inches wide, 8 3/4 inches high, and a classic longhorn detail embroidered over the front pocket, the garment screams, "We want to put our meat in your mouth every time you slip it on." Ted says it's machine washable, but suggests you let somebody else do that. Pick up the Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt, available now on our website. Now, we're back to our top 10 places to meet chicks. Number 3, grocery stores. According to AskMen.com, anyway, grocery stores, your eyes meet as you both reach for the last head of lettuce. The grocery store may seem like a better place to stock up on macaroni and cheese than meet women, but one advantage you have is the element of surprise. She won't be expecting to meet men while cruising the aisles. And because she won't be expecting to meet men while she's cruising the aisles, she'll have in curlers, she'll be wearing her sweats, she'll probably be wearing pajama bottoms, she'll look like hell, and she won't even want to talk to you. Yeah, nice going, AskMen.com. Ask men about what? Casually make a joke in the produce section. It worked for Jay, age 26. I made a funny comment about the frozen meat, and she said, "Oh, your meat's frozen?" And she split. I made a funny comment about the frozen meat, and we ended up shopping together. I let her pay first, and she actually waited for me, and we left together, and we wound up having sex in the back of her SUV while her kids were outside playing with asphalt. Jokes are good, says AskMen.com. Just don't make one about her melons. Hey. Jesus. Museums, good place to meet women. Be free to let your inner French paint her out. You will find a plethora of single women at museums, either to admire the beauty of the paintings or to study them on a deeper artistic level. Read up on all the big... In other words, women are into art, guys are morons, and don't go there. Hey, study up on paintings, go and look at a painting, and she'll be there, you know, get lucky, drag her into the bathroom. Read up on all the big names before going to visit the permanent collection and just see the featured exhibit, but learn the difference between Van Halen and Van Gogh, because we all know you're a complete and utter moron, and you wouldn't know a painting from a garage door. Find your way to the art museum. That's the big building with the funny-looking statue in front. And then when you go inside, there's a bunch of square things hanging on the wall, and it all looks kind of weird to you. There's a lot of chicks in there. Okay? Van Gogh was the guy that cut off his ear. You know that one, don't you, dummy? And finally, women's clothing stores. Pretend you're shopping for your sister or some other female. Or pretend you're a transvestite. It doesn't make much difference because you won't score in here either. Ask about simple items. In fact, what you ought to do, guys, this is my tip. If you go to a women's clothing store, say, can I help you on with that? Here, I'll just, there's a room right here. We can, oh, let me help you off with that sweater. Pretend you're gay. Pretend you're one of the gay salespeople.
Oh, Jesus, that's wonderful. I love the pearls on the strap. No, really, just take the brassiere off for a minute. Let's just see how you hang. Okay, good. Now try this.
You know, and you're not going to get a date, but if you've got that little, you know, little spy camera there in the pocket, and the little lapel camera in the flower, you're there. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. That's all the help I can give you this hour. You're on your own, man. Remember that art museum thing, though? The big building with all those guys in the suits with the little badge that says, no, sir, you're not supposed to go in the back door. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.